Hey guys, it's Drew from Corner Nerds here telling you that Tom and Chi in Granville is back. They've got impressive meal deals, so here's what you can look forward to when you stop by to get cheesy. Start your week off with a $29.95 Monday meal deal that feeds a family of four. No one wants to cook to start the week, so go get cheesy instead. Plus, kids 12 and under eat free from 4 to 8 every Tuesday, or enjoy a half-off grilled cheese donut every Wednesday from 4 to 8. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app like I did, you can hop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Plus, if you're like Stacy and you need it gluten-free, they can take care of you. Tom and Chi is proud to support Chia, a locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville near Cabela's. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first Court of Nerds of 2018, the only podcast that's trying to quit smoking and has a killer migraine. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Jen.
And we are your Court of Nerds. And we were going to wait a little bit longer to do this episode, but now that it's made $1 billion, I feel like we can speak freely about Star Wars The Last Jedi. And if part of that $1 billion is not your money, I no longer believe that's on us. I no longer believe that's on us. That's a you problem now, right?
Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right. As long as we're all in agreement. Like, we can't do a spoiler cast without everyone agreeing. So, Stacy, if you're not cool with this, this is going to be the shortest podcast we've ever done.
I mean, I did show up, so I think that that means I'm in agreement.
I guess so. Your enthusiasm knows no bounds.
Thank you.
John, help me here, man.
I got it.
He's got nothing.
Come on, you guys!
What do you want to start with?
Lead us.
With the monies? I thought you'd have some sort of... The last time we did a Star Wars cast, you showed up with 7 pages of notes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I kind of expected you to have some sort of... I mean, this is the Star Wars Last Jedi spoiler cast. Get as in-depth, as nerdy as you want. Hate on porgs, love on porgs, eat porgs. Don't talk about porgs.
I'm sure they taste exactly like chicken.
I bet they are delicious. I think they taste like puffins, by the way. Puffins.
They are as delicious as they are adorable.
So, Star Wars Last Jedi, I think we can all agree, is now officially the most divisive Star Wars movie ever made. Previously, yeah. That title would have gone to any one of the 3 prequels. You could have had your pick of the litter. But now I think Jedi has that title strongly in hold. And that's Last Jedi, not Return of Jedi. Thanks for making it complicated, Rian Johnson. This movie has the fan base divided. It has friends divided. It has families divided. John, let's start there. What's so divisive about The Last Jedi? Because we were all in agreement that we loved it.
Well, I think it's the mentality of not my Star Wars that a lot of people are throwing out there right now, because it's way different. It's a lot of... You know, women leads. It's a lot of social justice type of talk. There's differences in the way they portray politics, of course. The buildup of a lot of people and a lot of theories that were out there just didn't come true. And I think a lot of people got butthurt that their theories weren't what was in the movie. It's very 2017 Star Wars. It's not 1977 anymore. And a lot of people, I feel, didn't like that about the movie. But then you turn the page and the people that did like it, the 52% that did enjoy it, according to Rotten Tomatoes, have lists and lists and lists and 35-minute videos on YouTube about why you shouldn't hate this movie and why they did certain things this way, and that you don't have to have a family lineage, and it is still up in the air on who her parents are, but you don't have to start from nothing, or you can start from nothing and become a legend. You don't need to have a family.
Right.
You don't need to have it already built for you to become a legend.
Can we break down some of this social justice deal? Because I watched the movie and I didn't feel like it was a movie for the social justice warriors. Like, I just didn't see what people were complaining about.
Stacey, I think in nerd culture, anything with a female lead gets labeled as social justice.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Don't get me wrong.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah. We agree. Like, why can't Rey be a lead? Why is it so hard to see Rose in a strong female role? Why does it always have to be the Hans and the Lukes and the Chewies and the Poes and the why does it always have to be that way?
Yeah, it shouldn't need to be a piece of social justice when it's just kind of the way things should be. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. That seems
and especially in Hollywood right now, they're definitely moving in the way of things are going to be 50-50. And if they're not 50-50, it's going to come out directly right away on why it's not 50-50. Because of what's happened in Hollywood as of late.
Oh, yeah.
Things are going to change. Especially, we're going to see a lot of stuff this year at the awards about what has gone on. And Jessica Chastain, actually, in the most recent award show, already did a speech on things are changing and will change. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. But back to the wars, I mean, what is it? A lot of people, for instance, we're not gonna throw anybody under the bus, but King, he hated it. He thought it was absolute trash. But should we clarify
Andy Budnick, the King of Grand Rapids?
I wasn't gonna throw him on the bus.
Well, no, but you can't say King when we've had like Tom King on the podcast. Like, just say King.
King of the City of Grand Rapids, Andy Budnick, didn't like the movie. He thought it was trash, and he has very good reasons on why he didn't like it. But he also didn't like The Force Awakens all that much. So that kind of plays into it. Like, I feel like if you didn't really like The Force Awakens, you really weren't going to like The Last Jedi either.
Do you feel like it's people having their own expectations of something, and then when it doesn't own up to their expectations, that's what leads them to get disappointed?
Absolutely, because a lot of Star Wars, you didn't have to theorize about. You kind of knew what was coming. Like, when George Lucas wrote the prequels, we thought we knew that there was going to be some sort of giant battle between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker on a volcanic planet and or just a volcano in general. That was known to Star Wars fans. How it was going to be portrayed was not known until we saw the movie, which is still one of the cooler scenes in that entire movie. But you didn't have to theorize a lot. For this movie, it was all up in the air. And with everything that Legends has brought out, with everything from Luke Skywalker being awesome and, you know, the Han Solo and Leia's kids and everything of that matter, when you saw your characters that a lot of people realized could have been way different, not that way, it was disappointing to them.
Right. Let's broaden this for people who aren't as, I guess, EU familiar. As we would say, extended universe familiar. Because in the extended universe of Star Wars, which is no longer canon, No longer canon. And it was always, Lucas had said it was all canon at one point?
I don't really know if it was ever considered canon.
It was always sketchy.
But Lucas
never
really
said no.
Said no. Right. Yeah, that was it. He never said no.
So people took that as a yes. But in the extended universe, the fates of our heroes were much different than they've been given in this Disney Lucasfilm universe, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, canonical universe. And the child or children of Han and Leia was definitely not Kylo Ren.
No.
And Luke definitely did not go and hide on an island.
No.
Luke was honestly, he was a motherfucking badass.
Yeah.
He was the dude. Like, he was the dude. He was the Ric Flair of Jedi. Stealing, kiss stealing, limo riding, high flying, son of a gun. And to be the man, you had to beat the man. And Luke was the man. And this portrayal of him in The Last Jedi upset a lot of people. And it's really funny, the memes that have been coming out from people of the like, hiding on a planet when things don't go your way isn't the Jedi way. And then he just got the Obi-Wan. Actually, I hit on Tatooine for like 40 years.
Oh, and then Yoda hit on Dagobah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the Jedi way, actually. You fail and you go hide.
You bury your head in the sand/swamp.
I said this in the video.
/ Holy Mountain.
That you can check out at thequarternerds.com. The Jedi Order completely and utterly ruined Luke Skywalker's life. It killed everyone he knew dearly almost instantly once he left Tatooine. His parents both died. His aunt and uncle died. Obi-Wan died. Han Solo died. He lost his relationship with his sister. He almost killed his nephew. Like, this ruined his life. He wanted nothing to do with it anymore. He abandoned the Force, went to Octu, and just lived as a hermit, fished, and protected the caretakers of the original Jedi Temple. And he still protected the text. He still did everything that was supposed to be done on where he was, but he knew that his time as a Jedi was done.
Well, and I think on a bigger scale, he knew the time of the Jedi was done, right?
I would say yeah, because yeah. He knew that you can't balance the Force. You can't balance it. There's always going to be a rock thrown in somewhere.
Well, and can I counter that? Not counter, or I guess expand on it for a minute?
Yeah.
And then, Stacey, I want to get more of your thoughts because I really love what you're bringing this week. It's kind of the stuff that John and I don't think about because we get so into the fwum and the Force pushing and salt and the critters.
The badass
fights.
This one
made you think more, though,
it
as
did.
Well.
It did, and that's the thing. This was my big takeaway from this movie, right? Why Luke said the Jedi have to end, the Sith have to end, everything has to end. No one needs to bring balance to the Force. Do you know why? Because it's always balanced. The Force is out there. Luke's thing about to think that the Force is only there for Jedi and Sith is so selfish. That line punched me in the dick. Like, oh my God. Why did we not think of this before? Yoda says it on Dago. The Force is all around you. And Yoda being the one to fuck the Force tree up with lightning was like the exclamation point on it. Like, oh look, guys, and I'm surprised this isn't being called upon more. Yoda brought down Force lightning. That's dark side, bitches! Force lightning is dark side! But there is no dark side, there is no light side, there is just the Force. It's just the Force!
And Yoda in the movie makes that even more relevant than anything because he's just like, she already possesses, and we don't really know what he means by this yet, but he says, not verbatim, but she already possesses anything in that text already. Whether he means the books were already on the Falcon or she doesn't need any of this because she's already strong with the Force. And just like in Rogue One, when you see Chira Inu, who is a blind Force user but not Jedi, I mean, he uses the Force just like anybody else, but he's not a Jedi. He's a follower of the Church of the Force. He's a protector of the Kyber crystals. That's who he was. You don't have to be a Jedi to understand the ways of the Force.
Isn't there something about only Jedis are supposed to be able to use lightsabers as well? And there was some contention about
when Finn sparked it up. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the first.
It's not the first time
a non-Jedi has used a lightsaber, so it's not really...
Because people, man, they had their panties in a twist about that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have my panties in a twist about that one, because Han Solo cut open the Tauntaun on Hoth to keep Luke alive, so...
That's right, bitches.
I mean, it's not the first time somebody has used a lightsaber who shouldn't technically use a lightsaber. I mean, General Grievous had four of them. He's not really a Jedi or a Sith. He was just a mechanical robot with internal organs. So, I mean, that's whatever you want to think at that point. So,
were his organs filled with metachlorians?
Plausible. You don't know. They could be Jedi organs. You don't know. I mean, he did do a lot of battles.
Did love to slaughter them
but
Jedis.
The redemption song that Luke gets at the end of this movie, and that's another thing that we're going to see hopefully in the Han Solo movie, is they're playing these new movies out and they're giving us little Easter eggs here and there on everything. When Luke shows up, you think to yourself, why the hell did he stop for a haircut? He looks completely different. Did he stop at the Supercuts planet and get a trim before showing up?
Also, if there is a Supercuts planet, why didn't they go after that with a Death Star?
They should have. Because Supercuts sucks. Go to Great Clips. No,
we don't have an endorsement with either. We'll get our hair cut anywhere.
Not yet. So, but he shows up. He shows up to Crait, and he gives Leia the dice from the Millennium Falcon, which have the two moons on it, which I'm going to say now that those are the dice that Han Solo wins the Millennium Falcon with. You see him just for a quick second in episode 4 hanging there, so she knows what they are, but she also leaves them when they leave, and then they disappear, because she knows that Luke's not actually there, that it's a projection of him. So she understands what's going on. His redemption song was going out there, and the cool thing, the little Easter eggs that you don't realize, is that when he walks out on that planet, there are no footprints. You don't see it because you don't realize it at first, but every time you take a step on that planet, it's red. And when Kylo Ren walks out, there's footprint after footprint after footprint. But when Luke walks out there, there's no footprints.
You went and saw this again, didn't you?
I have not seen it the second
you
time.
You haven't gone and seen it again?
I have not seen it again.
John has only seen it once.
I'm,
I can vouch for that.
Witching, oh, boy. Right now, because I need to go back. But I've seen tons of videos and spoilers and blah, 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 blah. So I know what has gone on. And I've... Either way. So you don't see that stuff. But his redemption song... I say it again, is coming back and realizing that he is needed one more time to distract, which he knows he could do, because Hux even says it to him, don't let him distract you, when he's like, fire everything at this man. And then he goes down there, bring me down there. And he goes down and he's distracted. And what happens? Rey comes flying in, uses her force powers, removes the rocks, and lets the First Order, or not the First Order, the Resistance live on. He came back and helped one last time. I'm going to use my legendary powers of the Force and my legendary status as the Jedi.
As the dude.
To come back one more time so the Resistance can live on. And there are other Resistance posts. Nobody came out. There's a lot of people from The Force Awakens, like all of J.J. Abrams' friends that he put in the movie that were not in The Last Jedi, that were apparently out doing other Resistance things. So the Resistance isn't 12 people. It's more than that.
Well, yeah, because they put out a call and nobody showed up.
Nobody showed up. But they survived.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see a movie about Star Wars, but written by the quote-unquote First Order. You know, like how there's always two sides to history?
There is. It's called Battlefront 2, the video game that just came out.
But it's not a movie.
Yeah, but to get the whole story, you have to pay for a ton of shit, and then you have to pay for more shit.
Well, and you have to play video games, which I don't...
But it is from the eyes of an Imperial officer after the Battle of Endor.
That'd be intriguing to me.
Like, they think that the rebels are the terrorists, like...
Yeah, it's written with that propaganda aspect to it.
Which is really cool.
Yeah,
and they threw in the compasses from that game into this movie. They threw the dice into this movie. They also threw a little tidbit from Rogue One. They did. They did a little tidbit from Rogue One when she's on... can't think of the planet right now, but when she's doing the computer stuff, looking for the Death Star plans... She comes across a file of hyperspace tracking systems and then finds Stardust, which is the one she's looking for. She's like, I bet it's Stardust, and that ends up being the plans to build Death Star. They threw that crap in there, so a giant plot hole that everybody thought there was, there really wasn't, because they were looking at, they were trying to figure that out 50 years ago.
Right, and now, just now it's operational. But that's like when we hear about stuff like, you know what, in the next 30 years, there's supposed to be a shot that will be able to cure certain types of cancer. Like, you hear about these things, and it's like, oh yeah, they're working on this. So if you were part of the Galactic Empire, you would have heard in your, you know, meeting minutes each day, and here's the update on how the hyperspace tracking tech is coming along from the R&D boys. R&D boys, take it away. The R&D boys would be like, number one department, ball bags, working on hyperspace shit.
But this movie and The Force Awakens, I feel, were more of a two-set movie, that Jedi was, or the Empire and Jedi were, and the Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith were as a complete movie. Like, there was a cliffhanger after the after Force Awakens, and then this movie kind of ended with an ending. Now, a lot of questions, mind you, but it had, like, a straight-up ending with the little kid, and he grabs the broom with his Force powers, and he looks out in the stars, and then, like, that was the end of the movie. Now, there was a lot of questions that need to be answered, but the next movie feels more like it's going to be a standalone movie and a complete ending to what they're trying to bring together as the 9-movie saga as of right now. Like, Episode 4, A New Hope, is its own standalone movie. Like, when that movie came out, that was it. We didn't know there was going to be more. We didn't know there was going to be less. That was it. Boom. Movie. Episode 1, same thing. That could be a standalone movie. It ends with a big celebration at the end. A lot of questions, granted, but it ends with a big celebration. Boss Nass is given a giant Tesla ball, and that's the end of the freaking movie. You know? I mean, it is. That's what it is. It's a giant Tesla ball.
That's right.
So, do you think that Episode 9... Is that what we're on now? I can't
count
anymore.
It's going to be
9, which is Episode 9. Do you think that's going to tie up the Skywalker, and they're going to completely start all over with a totally different story, but still in the Star Wars?
I don't know if they're going to do 10, 11, 12.
I mean, think about how much money that this is making, though. Like, there's going to make... I know they're doing the Han Solo thing, but I feel like they should just start a whole new section. Like, okay, that's the Skywalker story. And moving on.
Well, I feel like they should just end it. Because this is... I'm not saying it's supposed to be, but I am still on the bandwagon of fans that saying that this saga is a Skywalker saga. Like, it's going to continue in my eyes. But I don't know if they're... Like, that's what they tried to do with this movie, is that they tried to expand the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes a lot of sense because, one, Carrie Fisher's dead.
Yep, and everybody else is starting to get old.
Harrison Ford is going to be 80 soon.
Is he seriously that old?
He's that old.
Holy shit.
And Mark Hamill, I mean, still not the spring chicken, but he's dead in the movies now. I mean, yeah, you can bring him back as a Force ghost, sure, but you can't expand. And yes, I know that I have been labeled as someone who likes to suck Disney's dick. But you
stop reading those comments, man.
No, I'm going to read them all because it doesn't faze me.
I love how your response was, at least she read it.
Yeah, at least she read it.
At least she watched
the video. Not even mad about it. She watched a 35-minute video. So,
does it taste good, John?
You can't. It's Mickey Mouse. Come on.
I love how you picture sucking Disney's dick as...
Jeez, I leave the 30 seconds. We're on Disney dicks.
Well,
I can't leave you two alone.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it's about making money. And granted, you can't base a story off of three people: one who's almost 80, one who's actually dead, and one who's dead in the movies. Two are dead in the movies. You can't expand on that.
So, what do you think they're gonna do then? Because this is a huge moneymaker.
They need to end the trilogy at 9,
mm-hmm.
and continue to make stuff like Rian Johnson's going to do, his own trilogy. They need to do one-off movies. I hear that there's going to be an Obi-Wan movie. It's not confirmed, but who better of right now person to go grab than Ewan McGregor?
Here's the thing. People want you to play, and John, I think this is probably what you were talking about. People want you to play in one tiny corner of the universe. That'd be like Stacy saying, hey, you've got this house, right? But I only want you to do anything fun in your lady cave in the basement.
No.
Right. You have this whole expansive other area, because as we all know, Moneybags Miller's got this big-ass house.
Mm-hmm.
It's ballin'. Ballin'!
I own a mansion.
Mansions.
Yeah. Custom.
One's on the
custom moon. Stonework. You know, it's beautiful.
A lot of detail. A lot of detail. A lot of gold. A lot of acrylics. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. But
I gold plate my gold plate.
2 chains. Shit.
All her stuff is the most expensivest.
Most expensivest. But what I'm saying is that's what this hardcore base of old and I mean old Star Wars fans want. They want you to stay in the basement and play in a tiny corner when there's a whole world out there to play in. And that's what Ryan Johnson wants to do.
That's what he wants to do.
He wants to go out and explore this galaxy far, far away that we know far too little about. Don't get me wrong. I love these old one-off movies. I love Solo. I will love Obi-Wan if they do it. I think you and I would both love like a Boba Fett movie. Or I mean, literally do anything. Do it. Play in the old world, sure. But I think what Ryan Johnson's going to do is explore this new one that they've created.
I mean, part of what was so exciting about the first trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, was the excitement of learning all of that stuff and seeing all of the different aliens and, I mean, species and all of that stuff. That was exciting, traveling through space. What's ironic to me is that the things that are so exciting about it the first go-around, those are the things that are upsetting those same people who were excited in the beginning. That's exciting. It's upsetting them now. And it's like, that's what's exciting about Star Wars is, you know, when they have all of these aliens and they walk into, oh, what's that lady's name?
Maz Katana.
Yes. When they walk in there, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted to see. I wanted to see live action,
and they've done that,
the comedy,
they've
the done interactions.
That tons now. They've yeah, done it in Mos Eisley.
But people
are
bitching about it.
They do it in Maz Katana. They're like, or Kanata, whatever her name is. It's like, why are you bitching? It's like
because
Star Trek.
Because it's different and it's scary.
It'd be like Star Trek not boldly going where no man has gone before. Are you serious? Like, you're going to justify it with, we can only fight the Borg. That's it.
Just the Borg.
Just the Borg.
The Borg.
No Klingons.
So friggin' boring.
No nothing. No nothing.
People are so afraid. And nostalgia, I understand, is like a huge thing right now. We want more of the exact same shit.
Hold on.
And it's so tiring.
It's not that we want more of the exact same shit. It's that in a world that seems scary and unfamiliar, people want something that feels safe. People want something that feels like something they've felt before.
This was not a safe movie.
No. All the old feelings, those are feelings you understand. Those are things you know. Those are things that are safe. Ryan Johnson said, fuck your safe with a lightsaber. By the way, lightsabers are dumb. I'm going to call it a laser sword. Fuck what you heard.
And then I'm going to break one in half. Suck
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is
he broke the OG lightsaber in half. And basically everything he did in that movie was to say, no, fuck what you think. This is not how it works. It works how we decide it works. And that's how it is now. And I love it. I love that he didn't care.
And I love that Disney loved it, too.
Yes, enough to give him his own trilogy. Enough to say, yes, you're the guy. And that they haven't backed down from that.
Yeah. So let's talk about kind of what happened in the movie. Snoke is dead. And there's no backstory. There's nothing on this dude. And this is another thing. This is another thing that people are just furious about.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, why kill off a character like that? Why build something up so big to just slice him in half real quick?
I don't think he's not really the main.
It's because he's not the main villain.
No, he's not. And I think people were confused by that.
He was a swerve, man. He was a classic Star Wars swerve.
Absolutely.
Like Leia kissing Luke at the start of Empire. Spoilers.
Dude,
swerve.
It's like 30 years old, I think.
Aware.
It's fine.
I'm aware. But it's a swerve. Star Wars
is
the best at swerves. This is what they do. When we walked in there, I was there with our friend Eric O'Brien from Way of the Warrior and MLive doing a little pre-show for Celebration Cinema. And I was telling him the biggest thing I want is I want to be swerved. I didn't want to know what was coming. I wanted the unexpected. It's part of the reason, and it's a show, Stacey, you and I are hooked on, Runaways.
Yes.
I have loved Runaways so much because I've read the comic book.
What the hell is going on?
I still have no idea what's going to happen next, and it makes me so happy. If Star Wars would have been as predictable as people wanted it to be, if Rey was a fucking Kenobi or some shit.
Oh, it would have gotten 100% by the audiences.
No PR on tomatoes. People would have their dicks hard. But I would have been like, okay, I guess she's a Kenobi because she's got a British accent and shit's predictable as fuck. And I'll go see the next one because I'm hooked. But like, I wouldn't have been as excited as I am right now. I'm excited because they gave me something I didn't expect.
And when you really break it down, Snoke has as much screen time as Palpatine has in the OG trilogy. The only reason, and I push this, push this. The only reason you have any sort of love for Palpatine is because of three movies that give you tons and tons and tons of backstory.
Not only has John moved himself to the edge of his chair, but his tone has gotten increasingly higher.
He is so intense. His back has straightened. His posture is fucking perfect. Ladies.
Just want to let you guys know.
He's got really soft sheets. You know.
Daggers in his eyes.
600 thread count. They're real dope. Real dope.
Man owns his own house. Home ownership stability. Yeah. Nerdy come ladies, come get this.
Come on, ladies, ain't that attractive?
All right, let's talk favorite scene and or storyline.
Stacey, you go first. Ladies first.
Shit. See, this is why I need to prepare people.
What, you don't prepare for this?
Really? Do we need to get into this?
Nope.
Okay. Favorite scene. When you say that, the first thing that pops into my head. The scene where Snoke gets cut in half. That lightsaber battle.
Holy shit.
Loved every second of that.
Throne and lightsaber
battle
is awesome.
Because that discussion we need to have. And John, you and I had it a little bit already off the podcast. That throne room fight scene, is that now officially the best lightsaber fight in Star Wars history? I would say it's firmly, yes.
Its main contender is Darth Maul, right?
It's real close. It's real close. Because the end scene of Revenge, when him and Anakin are fighting,
is dope.
Is real dope. The Maul fight is also real dope, but there's some things in this fight that you've never seen in a Star Wars movie with using the Force, dropping the lightsaber, cutting from different angles, throwing lightsabers, have them going right through guards' heads because you're stuck in a certain position. Like, that was killer. And Snoke being so big-headed about, you can't do this, you can't do this, I am the greatest, and then just being sliced in half because his head was so big with power that he didn't realize what Ren was doing and just had that lightsaber sitting right next to him. Like, his head, I cannot be beaten. I'm pretty sure is quoted from what he says. I cannot be beaten. 2 seconds later, sliced in half. That scene is killer. The only downfall is that it takes almost an hour and a half to get to that scene.
You know, I only thought at one point in that entire movie where I was like, man, I feel like this is a long movie.
It is very long. That is
only once, and it was within the last 10 minutes of the movie where I was like, when is it going to end? Like, I don't want it to end, but I feel like it's been a long time sitting here, and I had to go to the bathroom for like the last hour and a half. I was like, bitch ain't getting up. I'm not missing any of this.
And honestly, that's kind of a reason why I haven't seen it again yet. Is because of the runtime.
I'll go with you.
I mean, it doesn't really.
I'll go with you.
Hold on. There's no shortage of people who will go see Star Wars with John.
I know, but I'll go with you. We'll be long movie buddies. It'll be fine.
Fair enough. Drew, favorite scene?
I'm gonna let you go because I think you and I might have the same one. But I want to let the expert go first.
Well, my favorite scene, by far. And I even read articles on how movie theaters had to put a warning out.
Yes.
For this scene.
Yeah, we have the same one.
Is when Haldo, Purple Hair Lord Dern, I think that's her name.
Purple Hair Lord Dern! Yes, that's the girl.
Turns the ship Radis around and light speeds right through Snoke's ship. And it's completely and utterly silent.
I mean, Through the entire scene. Fleet. Through their entire armada that's there.
Well, yeah, for what's following the resistance, yes. Hands are tied in this scene. There is no winning. She needs to do something. Something you've never seen before in Star Wars. Why not use the ship as a giant battering ram to save the resistance of what's left of the resistance? Because a couple people decided to have pretty much the entire resistance blown up in the beginning of the movie and then destroyed towards the end of the movie because of the seemingly unnecessarily Canto Bright adventure of Rose and Finn. But also necessary because if you didn't have that, then what the hell is the purpose of the entire movie? So that is by far my favorite scene. And it really reminded me, and I don't know if Ben Burtt is still doing the sound of the movies, but it really reminded me of the scene in Attack of the Clones when Jango Fett is dropping bombs on Obi-Wan in the asteroid field of Utapau, or Geonosis, and they explode, but you don't hear the explosion right away. And that was a mistake by Burtt. The soundtrack just wasn't lined up, and they were like, oh my god, we love this. This is fantastic. And it made for that scene to be even more exciting, because it was like flawed, but cool. Space is a vacuum. Maybe that was supposed to be like that. And so you think to yourself, oh, that's really cool. And yeah, I think what was the warnings really about, Drew? Was it like, don't worry, the movie
people were complaining because they thought there was technical issues.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
About
it's
the
not,
scene.
It's not technical issues. Like, that was the way it was meant to be, and damn, Rian Johnson hit the nail on the head with that one.
I don't know about you guys, but the theater I was in, you could hear a pin drop in there.
Oh, yeah.
People were enthralled with the movie. I know everybody's bitching about it, but it's like, from what I saw, the majority... I mean, I saw it in Dallas.
Right.
So I was in Texas, went and saw it down there. And the general vibe that I got from everybody was that they freaking loved it. So I don't understand everybody's complaints about it. Especially that scene, because I didn't hear anybody say anything about it.
I think the majority enjoyed the movie. Maybe not necessarily exactly what they wanted, but enjoyed the movie. I think we're getting a lot of... You're just seeing a lot more of the hatred, because that's what's being portrayed as more than what people liked about it.
So the 5 to 10% are being pushed by the media.
And there's
the 90.
Also an article, and confirmed article, and actually interviewed this guy apparently, that he created an algorithm on Facebook that went and just gave the movie terrible reviews throughout websites.
Yeah, talk about the botting.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, but before we go to the botting.
But yeah, you gotta continue.
Can I talk about the holdout thing?
Yeah.
Can I speak?
Have the soapbox, Drew.
Did you guys see Kick-Ass, the movie Kick-Ass?
Yes.
Yeah.
The scene where they're just going ham and you only see flashes of light, right? And it's illuminated and it's just all this death and murder everywhere. That was the first thing I thought of when the holdout scene happened. Because there's also minimal sound in that other than the, you know, death. And with the Holdo thing, you just kind of, you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Because you breathe in as this sound is sucked. And I don't know if it's an actual sound effect, because I do also need to see it again. But I feel like you hear this vacuum and your breath is gone at the same moment the sound goes. That is one of those perfectly executed works of film. Not just a perfectly executed Star Wars moment, because it was, but as far as filmmaking goes, you built up, and the moment you want the audience to be gasping for breath, you take all the air out of the entire scene. You take all the air out of the theater. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop at our opening night show. And opening night shows are notorious for being rowdy, loud, kind of obnoxious.
Clapping, oh, cheering, wooting.
All of John's favorite things.
Yeah.
This had none of that. I mean, it felt like even after everyone just was in shock, like, oh shit. Like I was like fidgeting in my chair, and you know what I loved about it so much? It made me feel like a kid. We've never seen that before.
No.
Never. And I mean, just like when you were younger watching Power Rangers, did you ever wonder why they don't attack when they're morphing? You know, it's morphing time. That shit took like 15 minutes. Why didn't somebody just beat the shit out of them then?
Only the first time. Only the first
when
time.
They explain that they're in like a force field or whatever.
Yeah, didn't you ever notice that?
No, like when... Either way, thank you for ruining my example.
Tangent.
But what I'm trying to... I always wondered why nobody ever fucking rammed a ship with another ship. Why didn't you just...
Well, we've seen ships ramming other ships, especially in Rogue One.
Well, we've seen them crash into each other.
Ramming ships, but not full light speed into another ship.
Right. Those always seemed like slow collisions, you know?
Like, what went through her head? Like, oh, this will work.
Yeah, I'll be able to do this.
I think it was more like, fuck these guys.
And there is a couple things that you're like, really? Like that people have complained about? Or like the bombs dropping from the stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we talked about that.
Well, they're in space. That wouldn't do it. It's Star Wars. They use lightsabers. They stop light. It doesn't fucking matter. But there is one thing that I do agree that people didn't enjoy. Is the movie prior, Force Awakens, what did Finn do? He left the First Order. And what did he need to leave the First Order? A pilot. Why? Because he couldn't fly. He couldn't fly. The man can't fly. There really wasn't that much of a gap in between these movies. Yet all of a sudden, when he's on Crate, flying fool can fly that ship like a motherfucker. I don't think so. When did he learn how to fly? He was in a coma for most of it. And then learned to fly.
Maybe it's like the Matrix now.
Like, I mean, like that one does bug me just a little bit. Like, all of a sudden, motherfucker needs a pilot, and then all of a sudden he's badass and gonna go blow, like, fly right into this mini Death Star tech.
I mean, he had a rough go when he first started, though. Like, on the planet where they're actually, like, having their little battle. He was a little rough, but all of a sudden,
boom, like out of nowhere, he got RKO'd in a flight simulator. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I love how that's what you pick out.
It's just videos that I've watched and people that have complained about things. And I'm like, all right, that one I kind of agree with. That's why I kind of wanted to bring it up. And I was like, all right, that one, whether it be very little or very big, that one I do agree with. They say, all right, yeah. I don't see why he can just all of a sudden know how to fly.
Like, can I say this?
Unless it's the Matrix and it got downloaded into his mind. Like,
right,
the
Matrix.
Don't
know. Yeah. Do you want to know what kind of annoyed me that I didn't like? I'll be honest.
Rey having the Force books on the Falcon. Because it's like he gave J.J. Abrams or whoever was doing the next one, well, if you want to restart the Jedi anyways, she has the book, so you guys can still do the Jedi
thing. I think
that
was the whole point, though, is to restart the Jedi.
Is it to restart the Jedi, or is it to educate,
like,
everybody?
A Church of the Force.
Sure, maybe not necessarily the Jedi, but the practices of the Jedi. Like,
okay.
Like the whole theme of the movie was, you don't have to be... You can be nobody and become a legend. I mean, that's what Luke was before he found out he had any lineage at all.
I think they'll continue with the metaphor of destroying the tree, and that is the Jedi are gone, but that doesn't mean that the Force is gone.
Because it's not. It's everywhere.
Yeah. It's the thing that holds everything together. It's the glue. At least that's what I took from
it. So maybe not necessarily Jedi, but I wouldn't mind seeing a 5-10 year gap in between movies, between Last Jedi and whatever the next one's going to be called. And yes, have the Knights of Ren come back. Have a mini Jedi Order, or whatever you want to call it, the new Jedi Order, or whatever Rey decides to do with the texts. And have to have some sort of a final ending battle with Kylo Ren in the First Order. Like, you can't... And they have, especially in this movie, but you bring in these characters in her dream of the Knights of Ren, and you hear all this stuff, and you do all this stuff, and they do nothing with it. And that's exactly what they did in this movie. They teased you, and let you theorize, and then shot you in the foot because none of it came true.
Yeah, didn't they come out before and say, none of your theories are correct?
Rian Johnson had a sign that he tweeted out that said, your Snoke theory sucks. Because all of them did. Every single one. And I did see one thing that a guy straight up called this movie right after The Force Awakens came out. It's time marked. Said, bet this happens. And that's exactly what happened. It's like, damn, one guy did get it. I bet he's patting himself on the back.
All right, anything else you want to get to, big guy?
I think we covered pretty much everything. If you want to go ahead and watch a 35-minute video on why you shouldn't hate this movie, go to thecordanerds.com and check out my post of why you shouldn't hate this movie.
Should. And if you hate it, leave hate comments. John loves hate comments.
Lots of hate comments.
Loves them. All right, do you want to open this stupid package?
Yes.
So we got a package from Ben.
It's not Ben. It is addressed to Timothy Taylor Thomas.
Ben's an idiot.
Bleep, 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 street.
Yeah, at John and I's house Ben sent us something. We don't know exactly what it is. We have this strange feeling it's wrestling related.
We know where it's from. It's pro wrestling tees. So,
which is where I got my super dope Vigilante Club.
We're gonna open this.
Pro wrestling tees. Sponsor us.
All right.
Send us money or more t-shirts.
This is
what do we
something
get?
Is an envelope. We're gonna open this.
Oh, I hope it's a card with naked pictures of Ben.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff in here. Oh, man.
I hope this is radio appropriate stuff.
It is.
What, radio appropriate? This is a fucking podcast.
All right, so we got a the Kevin Steen interview CD. That's pretty sweet.
That's Kevin Owens for those not nerdy enough.
Pro Wrestling Crate, exclusive lapel pins of Rittner Street, Swanson Street, Legion of Doom.
Dibs.
And the Horseman Forever. That dibs on that one.
Fair.
And a poster here. The Best of the Indiest, or Best of the Indies Part 2. It's like a Back to the Future poster with Kevin Owens. And
looks like Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes, Joe Ryan, Marty Scurll, Jay Lethal.
Marty Scurll.
Yeah, and then
Jay Lethal. Oh, that's
Pentel
nice.
El Zero.
That's a nice
pretty
poster.
Neat. That's a fun poster.
Yeah.
And then the goodies, which hopefully he got the right sizes.
We got shirts? I can't see anything. John is literally opening this on the other side of a counter.
Long Live the Villain shirt.
Nice.
In a medium.
So is that you?
That's for me.
That's you, this medium. Oh, that's great. That's a great shirt.
And then,
I'm really jealous of that.
Still don't know if this one will fit you, buddy.
Oh.
Center of the Ring. LDS Ingrobinables.
Nice. Nice.
Neat. But it's a 3X, so we'll see.
Thanks, Ben, for thinking I'm a 3X, you sweet bastard.
Merry Crimma. It ain't over till a tree come down, baby.
Merry Crimma, everybody!
Which is gonna be this week, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be.
No!
I'm taking it down, dude.
No!
Yes.
Fuck you.
Tree is coming down.
Crimma lives on! I just bought you that nice Crimma order.
Next Crimma.